Hi, my name is Autumn Dixon, and this week is March 25th through the 31st of the Come Follow Me program, associated with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We are going to be talking about 2 Nephi, chapters 31 through 33. Now, chapters 31 through 33 is at the end of 2 Nephi, and these chapters are really interesting to me in the sense that I feel like Nephi knows that he's coming towards the end of his writings on the plates. So he's written throughout his life stories of things that have happened, things that he's been learning about. But if you've ever written in a journal, I feel like there have been plenty of times that I've written down really powerful stories that have happened in my life, but I didn't actually write about the lesson. So when you go back and you read it, it's a nice story, but you have to kind of search and dig and find the principles that were learned in the story, right? And I feel like Nephi here towards the end of his writing is hitting all of these really, really important parts, all of the things that he really wants us to know because he's running out of time to say it. And so he is pouring out testimony and gospel principles, most important things of the gospel. And one of those specific principles that he talks about, it is in 2 Nephi chapter 31, and it is verse 9. It says, "And again it showeth unto the children of men the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter, he having set the example before them." So the word that I want to highlight in this verse is straightness, straight, S-T-R-A-I-T. As I was growing up, I thought it was just a different way to spell straight because sometimes people spell things different ways, all of that good stuff. But straightness, S-T-R-A-I-T, and straight, S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T, they're actually two different words with specific meanings. Straight with G-H means just a straight line, right? There's no curves, no bends, nothing like that. Straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, means difficult, limited resources, closely fitted. They both imply narrowness, but they are not the same word. And this straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, was a word that was chosen by Nephi, and it was translated by Joseph, and it was a specific word that was chosen for a purpose. It was not meant to be S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. And I feel like I have lived a lot of my life trying to live an S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T path. Now, let's talk about what it really means to have the straightness of the path, S-T-R-A-I-T. I promise not to spell it every time. So difficult, limited resources, and closely fitted. It's a difficult path. Don't we know it? So that was kind of just the whole point. Our time on earth was meant to be difficult. It wasn't meant to be easy. We were meant to come here, experience opposition so we could grow. That was all part of the plan, right? Limited in resources. The farther along you travel down the path, the more you realize that there are few places to turn to find satisfactory answers for what's occurring or to find hope about what's occurring. And really, the only resource, that limited resource, is the Savior to really find those answers and to find peace about what's going on. And luckily, even though he's a limited resource, because he's the only resource that really we can turn to on this path, he himself is vast in resources and in ways that he can help us. Now, I could spend entire posts on either one of those definitions, but the one that I actually want to talk about today is closely fitted, that third one. It is closely fitted to the individual. Straight with a G-H means without curves or bends, but straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, can curve or bend. It's just meant to be fitted to the individual. It's a close fit. there are many ways that our path can be described in this manner, in this kind of straight. So we often have trials that are sent to us that are going to help us grow in specific ways for us. We have a specific experience and lessons that we need to learn. The Lord will often send us specific messages, right? Our paths are often very individualized. But there's another way that I want to talk about this word straight. And a way that I don't believe we often talk about, and that is in the sense of sin. Now, do we need sin in order to go back to our Heavenly Father? That is a silly question. Obviously not. We don't need sin in order to get back to our Heavenly Father. And like I said, it's a silly question, but I ask it because it teaches the actual principle. It's able to actually highlight the principle. We don't need sin to get back to our Heavenly Father, but we do need the lessons that often accompany sin in order to get back to our Heavenly Father. In many ways, we needed to come here and learn the hard way. That was the whole point of leaving our Heavenly Father's presence, was because we needed to experience opposition and learn the hard way, or we were never going to be able to see things as He does, to make decisions the way that He can, unless we tasted the bitter so we could comprehend the sweet. Heavenly Father doesn't want us to sin, but He does want us to grow. Now, my Savior, my Heavenly Father, have given me plenty of opportunities to fail in a myriad of ways. One of these ways was actually, specifically, in writing this blog and doing this YouTube channel and doing my podcast. That was one of the opportunities they provided me with to fail. Now, I have told this story before, so if you've been watching me for a long time, you've heard this story, but stay with me. I have always struggled with vanity. I have always liked the idea of people thinking I knew what I was talking about, thinking I was a good person and liking me. I've always struggled with vanity. I like to think I'm not the only one that struggles with that. But anyway, when I was in college, I stopped schooling for a little while because I wanted to be a musician. And when you are a musician, you also have to be a marketer, and you have to market yourself. You are the product. You are trying to put yourself out there and be like, look, I'm amazing. You need me in your life, right? You are marketing yourself when you're a musician. And so that's what I was doing. I was putting myself out there, trying to market myself. And this did interesting things to me. I don't think this has to happen in everybody's life, but this is what happened in mine. My vanity grew and was stroked, and I found myself extremely sensitive to rejection. I wanted everyone to like me, and that part of me was growing, and I was miserable. I was super unhappy, and it's funny, I didn't even recognize it until it was gone. But I was miserable, and it all came crashing down around me. I got really sick, had to go home. And there's a whole other story that comes along with that. But I had to go home, and it was one of the biggest blessings in my life. And as time moved on, I was able to recognize it as one of the biggest blessings in my life, that was taken away from me. And I realized that I never wanted to be that person again where I was promoting myself and putting myself out there, because I knew I struggled with vanity. And so I just made the decision. I'm not ever going to do that again, because I'm not going to push myself into that path of temptation and be selfish and egotistical again. So when Heavenly Father came to me and was like, I want you to put yourself out there and do this again, I told Him I was uninterested. And there were lots of reasons for that. I was a young mom, and I was exhausted, and I just wanted to watch my show. But it was also because I knew that it would stroke my vanity, and I knew that I would make a lot of mistakes. And I talked to my Heavenly Father about this, and I feel like He talked me through it. I feel like what He did was show me that He was providing me an opportunity to practice overcoming my vanity. And that was not the only purpose that I'm doing this, but one of the purposes was because he was providing me a chance to practice overcoming that vanity, which also meant that he was providing me opportunities to fail, to sin, to make mistakes. And fail, I have. I have failed plenty. There have been plenty of times that I have become a little too obsessive with wanting to know if people were listening to me and wanting to listen to me, and I had to lock myself out of stuff and take steps back. Or there were times when I would get called out on mistakes I made, or when I wasn't particularly articulate, and I would get ultra embarrassed and I wouldn't want to do it anymore. And I would sin, right? My vanity was there. I would fall into that flaw again, and I would want people to like me. But I was given opportunities to turn to Heavenly Father and have Him talk me through it. For Him to tell me, it's okay that you made mistakes, right? You're teaching true principles, but like, there's going to be mistakes made. You're not a professional. And then I was also able to continually turn to Him and ask Him to help me take a step back and just refocus on just doing what He wanted me to do and not on trying to get people to like me. And so practiced a lot, failed a lot, practiced more. I am so grateful that my Heavenly Father was wise enough and loved me enough to not be worried about me taking a straight, straight path with no curves or bends or mistakes. I am so grateful that He had the foresight to put me on a path where I would fail so that I could become better and happier and more like Him. I am grateful that He put me on this specific path that was closely fitted to me, tailored to me, to give me opportunities to fail and practice. Now, I'm not encouraging you to seek out paths of temptation and sin. That would be dumb. Excuse the word, but it's accurate. It would be dumb to seek out those paths. So if I'm not encouraging you to seek out opportunities to curve and bend and sin, why am I talking about it, right? If we don't need to be actively pursuing that, why do we need to learn about this idea of straight, straight, this curving and bending and mistakes being made? And I do have a good reason for that. I actually have two reasons for that. The first one is because as I came to understand this principle, even a little bit subconsciously, as I came to understood this, it took a huge weight off of me. Not only past mistakes, but fear of future mistakes, right? When Heavenly Father first told me, like, you're going to be doing this blog, I was like, I don't want to. I don't want to feel that way again. I don't want that unhappiness. I don't want to make those mistakes. I just want to stay far away from it. But when He opened my eyes to this idea of practicing and not being afraid of making those mistakes, that I was never meant to walk a straight GH path, that I was never meant to be perfect, failing wasn't so scary, right? Our Heavenly Father sent us here to make mistakes, and He sent His Son to pay for them. That was plan A. Plan A was never for us to walk a straight GH path. It was to walk an straight path. They always knew that that was what we needed in order to actually reach their goal of us becoming like them, seeing like them, being wise like them, being able to make decisions like them, to understand the bitter and the sweet. That was always the plan. We don't need to go out seeking sin. Don't do that. But we also don't need to be afraid of failure. The times that I have failed with my vanity aren't fun. They don't feel particularly great, but I'm not scared of it anymore because I know my Savior paid for it. I'm not afraid of making mistakes like I used to be. And it's given me opportunities to take paths where I'm going to fail, and I'm going to fail hard, but I can fail with my Heavenly Father, and it's going to turn out. There have also been times in my life where I have felt guilty, because if I made a mistake, then the Savior was going to have to pay for it, and he had to take that on. But this idea of straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, has also changed that perspective. So, for example, I have made lots of mistakes along this path with this blog and everything. I have made mistakes with my vanity, and I have sinned with vanity, right? But the Savior led me to that path. He took me there, right? I don't need to feel guilty when I make those mistakes. He put me here. He wanted me here because he knew what he wanted for me. It was worth it to him. He loves me. It was worth it to him for me to learn these lessons. He knew that I was going to curve and bend and make mistakes and learn lessons from those mistakes. It was worth it to him. The second reason why it's good to understand this principle of straight is because it makes us better disciples, and it makes us better able to help those that we love. I feel like so often we become desperate to protect our loved ones from sin and their consequences, which we should. We should definitely teach them about the consequences of sin and what it does for us when we choose to be righteous. But that shouldn't be our focus, right? That should be a means to an end. And the end is to remain close to the Savior. That's where we're going to find salvation. That's where we're going to find peace and happiness, right? The keeping the commandments is a means to an end. And when we have those priorities straight, where at the top we have being close to the Savior, and the keeping the commandments and avoiding sin is just a tool, it is much more powerful. It is short-sighted to make your goal avoiding sin over having a relationship with the Savior. It's short-sighted because it's impossible. There was a talk given in the October 2023 General Conference by Tamara Ruina. Hope I said her name correctly. And it's a great talk. Recommend going and watching it. It came to me while I was writing this, and it was perfect for describing what I was trying to describe. And so there's a quote in there that I want to read. It says, "I went through a rough patch my senior year in high school when I wasn't making great choices. I remember seeing my mom crying, and I wondered if I'd disappointed her. At the time, I worried that her tears meant she'd lost hope for me, and if she didn't feel hope for me, maybe there wasn't a way back. But my dad was more practiced at zooming out and taking the long view. He'd learned from experience that worry feels a lot like love, but it's not the same. He used the eye of faith to see that everything would work out, and his hopeful approach changed me." If we can tap into this principle, this belief that our path is closely fitted to us, but it's not perfect. It's not a straight GH path, but closely fitted to us so that we can learn to become like our Heavenly Father and our Savior. It can make us very powerful in how we can help others. Rather than trying to just avoid pitfalls and making that our entire focus, if we can teach our children instead to always have the perspective that you're just trying to seek a relationship with the Savior, then when they are on a straight path with GH, when they are making good choices, they can be close to their Savior. But when they inevitably make mistakes and find those curves and bends, they can still be close to the Savior. Those curves and those bends become powerful lessons because they're still turning to the Savior. That was always the plan, right? If that can be our focus, if we can stop desperately pushing for a straight path, GH, and focus instead on the relationship with the Savior, we have given our loved ones a goal that they can actually accomplish, right? We have given them this hope. I am grateful for a Savior who paid for this experience for me. I'm grateful that he can take the mistakes that I've made and turn them into powerful lessons. I'm grateful that he loves me enough that it's worth it to him, that he finds enough joy in me becoming like him, that he would do it a million times over. I'm grateful that he taught me that the expectations I had placed on myself were impossible, and that they were never expectations I was meant to be carrying around. And I'm grateful that he never lost sight of who I was meant to become as I made those mistakes, but rather he saw that those mistakes could help me eventually become everything I was meant to become. I'm grateful for that, for my Savior, and I say that in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.